This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Ultimately, the ethics of American business depend on the conscience of America's business leaders. We need men and women of character who know the difference between ambition and destructive greed, between justified risk and irresponsibility, between enterprise and fraud.
President Bush speaking Tuesday to invited guests at a hotel near the New York Stock Exchange. Mr. Bush outlined his plan to promote corporate responsibility, a subject that's dominated the news this week. Dan Schor joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi.
Dan, as soon as the president was done speaking, the stock market seemed to plummet yet further.
Oh, it even plummeted while he spoke, as a matter of fact. That's right. Yes.
Be what he had in mind.
It's not what he had in mind, but I don't think he expected to have a very short-term effect. It is true, however, that his speech seemed a little bit long on rhetoric, a little bit short on remedy. What it didn't very much address was the larger issue of executive self-enrichment at the expense of the investors, the inflating of earnings to make stock options more valuable. He did talk some about increasing prison terms for outright fraud and so on, but as you say, the market kept sliding and has been sliding ever since.
Mm-hmm. Was it a lack of specificity in the speech as far as you're concerned, or... are there other factors responsible? I mean, a presidential address, of course, is intended to focus the attention of the nation and spur some movement.
It's doubtful whether at this point, with the crisis of confidence that Americans are now evincing when it comes to the economy and the stock market, doubtful that anyone's speech would do it. But if anyone's speech would do it, it would not be this speech.
Both President Bush and Vice President Cheney continued to contend this week with a variety of questions about their own conduct while they were working as CEOs in the private sector. Mr. Bush was chief executive of Harkin Energy. Vice President Cheney, of course, at Halliburton Oil. Does this administration have a challenge when it comes to representing itself as the spearhead of reform?
Well, that's right. I mean, last Monday, the president called a news conference to sort of call attention to his speech on Tuesday and spent most of that press conference trying to answer questions about his own past activities at Harkin and whether he got loans from him and all these things. Whether or not has done anything of which he's culpable, if you have to keep answering questions of that sort, then your credibility as the great leader, the great knight who is going to take this country out of the economic morass, becomes a little bit difficult for you to do, and he's had to do that.
Mm-hmm. What are the chances, in your mind, that the American public is going to see significant reform of corporate laws and accounting laws, say, between now and the fall?
Well, not if we had to depend on the administration. But something very interesting is happening now in Congress, where both parties are rapidly moving to try to fill the vacuum that I think that the president has largely left. Strange things are happening here. Speaker Dennis Hastert, for example, announces that he's going to support bills by the Democrats in the Senate. Senator Phil Graham, whose wife sits on the Enron board, said he's going to support some of the bills that come before them. There are amendments being passed at about two or three every hour, it would seem at times, with only token opposition, sometimes no opposition at all. The Senate seems to be moving towards passing sometime next week a big corporate reform bill. You would not expect a divided Congress of this sort to be stepping into the lead on an issue like this, which is normally something we would leave to a President Roosevelt, be it Teddy or Franklin D., to come in and do this thing. It's now Congress which is taking the lead.
Let me ask you, in that light, with what went on about the Department of Homeland Security debate this week, because you had the Secretaries of Defense, State, Treasury, and Attorney General Ashcroft, all on Capitol Hill,
yes,
talking about Homeland Defense and urging the Congress not to modify the president's proposal for this new Department of Homeland Security. But efforts towards modification seem to continue.
I think that was to be expected. At the very beginning, the president came out with a big speech announcing he was going to have a Department of Homeland Security, and generally speaking, because his ratings in the field of war leaders still remained very high, it was expected he would more or less get what he wanted. But then there was a legislative process, and once the thing goes through the legislative process, you have people who have their own irons in the fire. You have committees which have oversight responsibilities, and if they lose their oversight responsibilities, they they lose a little bit of influence and power. And so you've seen some changes. The most important change, as I think has been made, the president wanted to have the ability within the department to be able to shift money from one activity to the other without going to Congress. House committee this week said no to that. They're saying no to various other little things that come up as to whether or not, for example, animal plant inspection will be shifted to this or whether it'll remain in agriculture. There are people who are now looking at their own interests as legislators and wanting to control the appropriations, wanting to control the oversight. The result is that while there undoubtedly will be a Department of Homeland Security created, it may be different in several important details from what the president wants.
Well, let me ask you an overall question about the quality of the president's leadership, because he certainly seems to have been successful in uniting the country and the Congress and all elements of different political opinion behind him as a war leader.
Yep.
So far, he has not been able to achieve nearly that kind of unanimity as a domestic leader or a leader specifically on the economy.
I think that's right, and I think that the polls are beginning to reflect that, and I think the reason for that is that the president comes from the very culture of corporate greed, if we can call it that, which is now under the gun. And it's very difficult for him. He has been, he has been a very business-friendly president. He is an anti-regulation president. He has spent a lot of his life trying to fight against regulation. And what seems to be needed now is a certain amount of re-regulation in order to deal with the problem. So the result of that is that he doesn't come off as the great hero of regulation, and therefore I think he's losing his influence in this issue.
Did the United States, looking at the International Criminal Court this week, have to compromise its position?
The United States had to dig itself out of a hole. The United States decided that it was going to veto peacemaking activities unless it got what it wanted, which is immunity for Americans from the International Criminal Court. And that created such a profound effect all over the world that in the end, it was clear that in spite of where conservatives might want, that it would be necessary for the United States to move towards some kind of compromise. It was simply some way of finding a face-saving way of letting the United States get out of a hole which it managed to dig for itself.
Now, in the wake of the acknowledgement of the United States that there was at least an accident that resulted in the deaths of scores of civilians apparently at a wedding party in Afghanistan, you have some Afghan governors who are now demanding that the U.S. seek permission for further operations. Is that relationship between the United States and the Afghan people jeopardized?
I think so. I mean, this is a country for which we claim, rightly, that we were the liberators. And to be liberators and then to be bombing a wedding and killing some 40-odd people is not the way you expect your liberator to act, and we're getting the results of that.
Okay. Dan, thank you very much.
Sure.
Dan Shore.